In Florida, you'll find the environment to inspire what's inconceivable, the chance to explore what's inexplicable, and the space to accomplish what's unimaginable. You'll no longer have to wait for the future. You can harness it. Florida, the future is here.
Does it pay to spend money on dating apps? Well, if you're over 30 and actually know what it means to swipe right or left, it just might. More straight ahead.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello and welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Well, swiping right isn't just for younger folks anymore. Perhaps you're never too old to use a dating app, and matchmaking startups are starting to catch wind of this. Take the popular biggies like Tinder and the League app as an example for new efforts that welcome older singles, as in those in their late 30s and beyond. Companies are starting to realize that they can really cash in some revenue by opening up the dating world to folks beyond the 18 to 24 year bracket, which was a common restricted age bracket for many dating sites. Let's get right to the story. Joining us now is tech reporter for the Wall Street Journal, Georgia Wells. Hi, Georgia.
Hey.
So this is interesting because from what I know about dating apps, they tended to be very restrictive. There seems to be a 180 happening here. What changed in opening it up to older folks?
Right. So I think many dating apps took the approach of first you need to get the users and then you can work on making money.
Mm.
And to get the group of users, they did something new, and they went after younger people, so people in college, because they, for two reasons. The founders were the age of the people in college, and so they like could relate and build something they wanted. And also because they had a hint that their apps might spread really quickly among this age group, and they did. And now they're trying to make money, and they're inviting older users to join their app.
I see. So what does research or data tell us about folks out of that coveted 18 to 24 dating app bracket? How inclined are they to spend time and money on a dating app?
People aged 35 to 44 are more than twice as likely to pay for dating apps compared to people who are 18 to 24. So that, you know, people in that 35 to 44 bracket, there aren't as many of them on the dating apps, but they are bringing in more money.
So let's use one of the more mainstream dating apps out there, such as Tinder. Let's say you're over 30 looking into, you know, using a dating app. What does Tinder offer and for what price?
If you're 30 years old and older, you can pay $20 a month to get unlimited people to match with. And so if you don't pay, you know, if you're looking at people, the number changes, but after you reach like a certain your limit, the company won't show you any more profiles that day. And so if you want to look for as many profiles as you want, you can pay $20 a month. And paying $20 a month also gets you a couple other things. It means that you can match with people in other locations, and you can send people an indication that you really, really like them. But the main thing it's getting you here is unlimited matches.
Right. And as apps expand past a certain age bracket, I wonder if territorial issues come into play because, I mean, the dating app world is only so big. Can it share the space with different age groups and age brackets? I could imagine that it could get a little sticky.
Mm-hmm. So the apps are very sensitive to making sure that people only see people on the app who they want to see.
Mm.
And so if you set your profile so that you only want people who are within a couple years of your own age, they'll only show you people who are a couple years of your own age. And it will only show you people who, like, reciprocate in terms of they want people who are your age as well. And so they have kind of solved off the issue of cordoning off different user bases. An interesting question going forward, though, will be, even though they've solved that, will there ever be any impact on the brand of, say, students realizing that their parents are on the same dating app? Even though they don't run into their parents, just the idea and knowing that their parents are out there.
Right, right. And is that how dating apps generally make money, is through subscription fees? Is that their bread
mm-hmm.
and butter?
About 80% of the money that dating apps make tends to be from its recurring subscription payments. Like, the other 20% can come in through advertising, through, like, one-off a la carte fees that people can pay in order to send more messages, say, or in order to indicate to someone that they really like them.
So now that they're opening it up like this and monetizing, do they expect to cash in on this? What are projections looking like based on how well they're doing so far?
Yeah, they expect to make a lot more money. The League's revenue jumped 10% as soon as the company allowed users over 40 to purchase memberships. And The League founder, Amanda Bradford, predicts that attracting more users could boost her company's revenue by 35% in the next quarter.
Very good. Georgia Wells, thank you as always for joining the podcast.
Thank you.
We've been speaking to tech reporter for the Journal, Georgia Wells. That wraps up the tech news briefing. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.